I invite your attention to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13 will be the beginning of our scripture reading this morning. This morning I want you to basically get one thing from this message. And you probably noticed if you looked in the bulletin that this message looks pretty simple. The title of the message is Jesus is Alive. Point number one, Jesus is alive. Point number two, Jesus is alive. And you'd never guess what point three is. Jesus is alive. Absolutely. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, this will be a short, simple message and we'll get out early. Well, keep hoping. There's always hope, okay? But right now, let's turn our attention to Luke chapter 24, verse 13. And let's focus on our living Savior. Jesus is alive. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Now behold, two of them, we're talking about two of Jesus' followers or disciples, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together all the things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you a stranger, the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in the last days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes. And certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. They drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?'" Again, let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are God. We thank you for Jesus, your Son, the sacrifice for our sin. And we thank you for the victory over death through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to respond to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we talk about Jesus being alive, but today, I want you to realize, first of all, that statement, that sentence, "Jesus is alive," it has to matter. It has to make a difference in your life. And that's what this entire message is about. Does it really matter that Jesus is alive? I want to tell you, Jesus did not rise from the grave, go be seated at the right hand of the Father, and he's just waiting to come back and not concerned anymore. That's not Jesus. Jesus being alive means that he makes a difference in your life. That you have a place you can go when there's no place else to turn. That when you need power that is beyond your power, you can turn to Jesus. You see, Jesus being alive is the foundation for everything that we believe. And the first thing I want you to understand today, that Jesus is alive and Jesus is for every man, I don't care who you are. And one of these men named Cleophas, I find it interesting that these guys, the only one named was Cleophas, and the other guy was not even named. I do not believe these guys were part of the 11 apostles or the 11 disciples. I don't believe that these guys were the ones that followed Jesus for the last 3 years, but they were followers. Okay? Somewhere along the way. Maybe we could just call them regular guys. Two regular guys. Believers, but not believers of distinction. And I find that interesting part about this is that Jesus, when he began to reveal himself after his resurrection, he didn't go to the apostles. He was seen by the women first, by Mary, and then these two guys on the road to Emmaus. And I'm thinking, Jesus, what about those guys you trained for 3 years? Why didn't you appeal to them or appear to them? And I'm reminded, you know, Jesus is just not for people. It's not just for people who have big titles. Jesus is not just for the certain class of people. Jesus is not just for pastors and teachers. That this Jesus that rose from the grave is for every single person that's present here today. It does not matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how difficult your problem is. It does not matter what you've done in the past. It matters that Jesus is for you. And I think sometimes we forget that. The common misconception is that there are only a certain few that can have a special relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about that intimacy, that prayer when you know you're praying, you just know you're talking to Jesus. When you're reading the Word, you just know you're hearing from Jesus. And we kind of think, well, that sort of thing is reserved for pastors. No, it's not. Okay? It's not. Now, pastors should have a special relationship with Jesus, but I want to tell you, you can be just as close to Jesus as I can. You can have just as intimate relationship as I can. Because Jesus is not looking for important people, powerful people, or people with titles. He's just looking for people who will receive Him. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, Peter learned that lesson when he was told to go and share the gospel with Cornelius, a Roman centurion. And Acts 10, 34, it says, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality." That's what I want you to get today. Jesus is not partial toward anybody. He loves you. Brother Doug, you don't understand. I have a past. Guess what? I do too. And everybody else here does too. And somewhere in that past, everybody's done things they're not proud of. Oh, but Jesus still wants a relationship with you. Jesus is still as much for you as He is for anybody. Never let anybody convince you that you've done something or you're not that church type, so Jesus is not for you. That's a lie from the devil. Jesus is for you, and Jesus is alive. Point number two, Jesus is alive, and He's for every situation that you might face. See, while these guys are going down the road, their heart's breaking. They're conversing with one another and halfway crying. It says, while they travel, they conversed and reasoned. That word reason means to question. These guys don't get it. They are upset. This has not at all turned out the way that they thought it was supposed to turn out. And so Jesus approaches them and their eyes, or Jesus is concealed. They don't know who it is. So as Jesus approaches them, He says, "Hey guys." That's the Doug Hamburg translation. "Hey guys, what's going on? Why are you so sad? What is making you so sad?" And they look at this person who's joined in the conversation, and they cannot believe this man does not know. And they look at him and say, "Man, where have you been? Don't you know everything that's gone on in Jerusalem?" He said, "Well, tell me about it." And so they begin to tell him what happened to this Jesus of Nazareth. They said, "He was a prophet." Now, when they say he's a prophet, they're not being disrespectful or suggesting that he's not the Messiah. They're just making a statement. He's a prophet, meaning when they heard from Jesus, they were hearing from God. That's what that word means. It means, you know, someone who speaks on behalf of God. And so they said, "He was a prophet. When he talked, we knew we were hearing from God. He was mighty in word and deed. There was power in what he said. Even the winds and waves obeyed his voice. This Jesus gave sight to the blind. He cast out demons. He even raised Lazarus from the dead. This guy was absolutely awesome." And then they say, "But our leaders killed him." Can you imagine the disappointment? "Our leaders killed him. The high priest delivered him to be crucified." And he said, "We were hoping. Oh, we were hoping that he would redeem Israel." You see, they didn't get it. They didn't get the plan. And they said, "Besides that, the ladies went to the tomb this morning and he was not there. Then his apostles went to the tomb. Some of his apostles went to the tomb and he was not there. And the ladies said they saw an angel who told them that Jesus was alive. And now these two guys are more confused and more hurt than ever." Okay? Now there's three things I want you to get right here. All right? I want you to take just a minute. Number one, Jesus is alive. And just because life does not turn out the way you think it should, does not mean that Jesus is not working. Okay? Just because life does not turn out the way you think it should or the way you plan does not mean that Jesus is not working. See, they had all these expectations. This Jesus is going to deliver us from the Romans. He's going to set up his kingdom. And Jesus didn't do any of that. And now they're discouraged. But you know what Jesus did? He delivered them from their greatest problem, which was sin. That's what that coming was about. That's why he came as the Lamb of God. That's why he died upon the cross of Calvary to take our sin debt and to take your sin debt. And these guys are saying, "I don't get it." Let me tell you something. Just because your life is not going in a direction that you think that you ever thought it would does not mean that Jesus is not there. Okay? You may not know he's there, and you may not understand everything, but Jesus is there if you're a child of God. Brother Doug, how do you know? Because Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And I believe what Jesus said. Do you? Listen, we've got to learn as a people to realize, even when things don't turn out like we think they're supposed to, that Jesus is God, and he being God is working all things together for good. Romans 8:28, I love. "And we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Just because you can't see Jesus doesn't mean he's not working. Number two, just because you can't feel Jesus does not mean that he's not working. Their eyes, the Bible says, their eyes were restrained. Jesus was walking and talking with them and they didn't know it. And then we back up and say, how could they not recognize Jesus? Well, first, I think he's in his glorified body. But God has put blinders on these guys because at this point, they do not need to see Jesus. They need to hear from Jesus. You see, it's at this point that faith begins. We believe, or in society, we talk a good talk. But our society is all about feeling and seeing. Have you noticed how everybody's looking for that touchy-feely, warm, fuzzy feeling in everything that we do? Yeah? I mean, in looking for a church home, it's all about, I feel what I feel. In my relationship with God, well, I feel. I want to tell you something. There are times you don't feel. Have you ever noticed that? There are times, oh, Brother Doug, you always feel, no. That doesn't mean that he's not there, but sometimes you don't feel. You don't feel that encouragement. You don't feel that presence. And Jesus does not base what he does on your feelings. Do you know that? Did you know there are times I don't feel like doing something? You know, as a pastor, there are times that I do not feel like praying. Oh, Brother Doug. You know what I do when I do not feel like praying? I pray. Why? Well, Brother Doug, if you don't feel like it, why do you do it? Because I know that's the right thing to do. And if I don't talk to God, I'll never get that warm, fuzzy feeling. Do you know there are times I don't feel like studying? I don't feel like reading the Word of God? Oh, Brother Doug, you're a pastor. Yes, I am. But you know what I do when I don't feel like it? I open the Word of God and I start reading. And guess what? By the time I'm finished, I do feel like it. But my point is this. You know what I've discovered in those feelings and not feelings I've discovered that when I pray anyway, that when I study anyway, that when I seek the Lord anyway, I discover, yes, He is there. That it's my feelings that are messed up. And it's me that doesn't see the whole picture. I want to tell you, there have been times in my life I felt completely alone. Have you ever been there? Say amen if you've been there. I've been like, nowhere to turn, don't know what to do, don't know how to handle it. And you know what I've discovered in every case is at the end of that trial, at the end of that really time of drought, that Jesus was there all along. I can recall ministry difficulties and I've thought, Lord, why am I going through this? And the wonderful thing is often, you know, He gives us that hindsight, and hindsight's 20/20, and we look back, oh Lord, I get it now. But listen, just because you can't feel or see Jesus does not mean He's not there. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I've discovered that my feelings are not always truthful, but I've also discovered that Jesus is always truthful. And He's always there, no matter what. And the third thing I want you to get here. You cannot tell Jesus anything that He does not already know, but He wants to hear it from you anyway. Does that make sense? You cannot tell Jesus anything He does not know, but He wants to hear it from you anyway. These guys are going down the road, and Jesus walks up to them and He asks them, hey, why are you so sad? And so they begin to pour out their heart to Jesus. And you know, Jesus knew. He was there. He was the one hanging on the cross. He could have just stepped in, boys, let me straighten you out and let me fix you up. But He didn't. He said, I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me. Why are you so downhearted? Why are you so sad? And so they begin to pour out their hearts. And Jesus let them pour their heart out. And then He says, okay, now I'm going to help you. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you poured out your heart to Jesus? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in a congregation of this size that there are people hurting. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are people facing some pretty big mountains that they've got to climb at this point. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there are needs in this congregation today. When's the last time you poured your heart out to Jesus? So, Brother Doug, I've had people tell me, Brother Doug, I'm at a point I can't pray. No, you are not at a point you can't pray and pour out your heart to God. You're at a point that you choose not to. Okay? It's a choice. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Jesus wants to hear from you. And the line is always open. Have you ever talked to somebody, and as you're talking to them, you can tell they're not listening. You know, their eyes are elsewhere and they're kind of... Jesus never does that. Jesus never does that. You know, and Jesus never fakes it. Listen, I'm a man, and I've got this man gene. And in this man gene, I can look you straight in the eye and not listen to a word you say. That's why my wife says, "Did you hear me? Are you listening to me?" And that line always wakes me up. It's, "Oh yeah, I got every word you said, darling." And then she always shows me, "What did I say?" And deer in the headlock at that point. Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is alive. And He's ready to hear from everyone present. He already knows what you're going through. But He wants to hear it from you. He knows what the answer is. But He wants to hear from you. You see, people don't get that. I hear so often, "I don't have time to pray." And we make every excuse in the book. Don't you realize this is the Creator of the universe that says, "Lay your burdens before me"? This is the God that says, "My ears are open. Ask, seek, and knock. Ask and it shall be given." And we say, "I don't have time for prayer." I don't think so. The devil has deceived you in thinking it'll do no good. Listen, Jesus wants to hear from you, even though He already knows what you're going through. And then finally, number three, Jesus is alive. But His resurrection requires application. Jesus, after they poured out their hearts, Jesus speaks to them and He says, "Guys, foolish and slow of heart to believe." You know what that word "foolish" means? It means to be mindless or not marked by common sense, use of reason. What Jesus is saying is, "Guys, you're not using your head. Think about what you've been taught. You've not thought it through." And then Jesus explained and He began at Moses and the prophets and he talked of all the scriptures concerning Himself. Did you know everything in the Bible is about Jesus? I mean, from the beginning to the end. We all grew up with stories of Abraham and Noah and Moses. Those aren't stories of Abraham and Noah and Moses. Those are stories that point to a Savior. You know? Go over, and I love to look at the feast from time to time. We did a sermon series on that about a year or so ago. But do you realize those feasts aren't about some religious holidays? Those feasts, those Jewish feasts, are about a Savior. Do you realize that Easter is, it's not a holiday. It's a celebration of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. Do you realize everything points to Jesus? And he began to expound all these things to Jesus. That word "expound," it means to make sense of. They're getting a Bible lesson from Jesus. And the more Jesus talks, the more excited they become. The more excited they become, the more Jesus speaks. And it all begins to make sense. And they arrive at their destination. And they invite Jesus. "Oh, this guy's good. We don't know who he is, but you got to come spend the night with us. The night's far spent. Come spend the night with us. We want to talk to you some more." And so Jesus comes in to stay with them. And he has dinner with them. And he sits down with them. And it says he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him, said, "Eat." Does that sound familiar to you? Does that sound familiar to them? And it says their eyes were opened. And they immediately knew who it was. You know what they discovered? Jesus was there all along. You know what you'll discover in your relationship with Jesus when you feel like you're alone, when you feel like, you know, where's Jesus? Why isn't God doing something? You know what you'll realize? You realize that Jesus has been there all along. Are you hurting? Jesus is there because He's alive. Are you confused and you don't know what to do? Jesus is there because He's alive. Oh, listen, at this point we begin to learn you've got to apply what you know. Does that make sense? When it says, y'all haven't thought this through, all the Jesus is alive teaching, you've got to learn how to put it in life. You've got to learn how to apply it. Because if all you do is go to church today, and listen, I say this respectfully, I love you, but if all you do is go to church today and you've endured my preaching for 30 minutes, and you go home, it's done you absolutely no good. Jesus is alive. Now apply it. Brother Doug, I don't know how to apply it. Well, first thing you do when you get up tomorrow morning is you call out to the Lord in prayer. And you lay every burden you have before Him. Well, let's just don't wait till tomorrow. Let's do it today. Okay? And old Satan's convinced you, I don't know how to pray. I can't pray. And God's not listening. That's a lie. Again, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Put it into practice. You've got to learn how to apply a living Savior. I said, Brother Doug, you don't understand. My family is torn apart right now. There's just trouble on every side. Good news, Jesus is alive. Pray about your family. Get in the Word of God and see what the Lord says about how your family or how to handle your family. It's got to start somewhere. Let it start with you. Let it start with me. Somewhere there has to be an application. Oh, it's fun to have a holiday. It's neat to have a holiday. But beloved, Easter's not a holiday. Easter's a celebration of a living Savior. See, and that's when I say Jesus is alive, I want you to walk out of here knowing that because Jesus is alive, I can face whatever I have to face today. Because Jesus is alive, when this life is over, I'm going to heaven because He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself that where I am there you may be also. Because He is alive, I don't have to be afraid. Because you know what we talk about end times, and I tell you what, I believe we're living in the last days. But you know what? That's okay too, because I know how it all ends. Jesus is coming back. There will be a rapture. And you may be sitting here saying, Brother Doug, I've heard that all my life. Well, it don't matter what you're saying. The Bible says it. Jesus is not a liar. It's going to happen. Yeah. I want you to walk out of here with a living Savior, a living faith. You see, it's more than just words, Jesus is alive. It's a lifestyle. Are you a child of God? In closing, Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Jesus has said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're the whosoever. Do you know that? You're the whosoever. Put your name in there. If Doug Hambrick calls on the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. Michael Weatherford calls on the name of the Lord. If Dale Ashlock calls on the name of the Lord, they'll be saved. Have you called on the name of the Lord? Say, if not, this invitation for you. Will you come forward and let me show you in God's Word how to do that and how to receive God's forgiveness and eternal home in heaven? He said, Brother Doug, I've already done that. Have you been baptized? You see, you've got to put into practice. First step after salvation is baptism. Public declaration of your faith. You need to come forward and request baptism. Brother Doug, I've done all that. But when you go out of here, live. Here's my challenge. Live like Jesus is alive, because He is. He's alive. Our Father in heaven, thank You. Thank You that we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and knowing that because He lives, we too shall live. Lord, as we look at this resurrection story of how Jesus met these two men on the road to Emmaus, may we look at the conversation and at the event and apply these things to our life, so that we may walk out of here and live like children of a living Savior that You are. Father, I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.